this rig on my head. And my son, Malachi, he's really good at giving people a look like, what is happening? And sometimes Elijah, his older brother, who's three, sometimes he has a little tantrum when they give him the wrong spoon or something at breakfast. And Malachi always just kind of sits back and goes, like, what is happening? Well, they put this on my head, and he looked at me like, what is happening right now? And so I got a kick out of that. I was like, yep, I think the same way about it. But that was fun. So Hebrews 11 is where we're gonna be this morning. And very thankful to be back here today and to be able to sing with you, to be able to open the Word of God, and to be here for Sunday school, and looking forward to the teen service this afternoon. But really enjoyed we had that little fellowship over at the LaRoche's last night, and we came just as they started singing last night, and as you walked up to the house, you can hear the people singing inside, and it was is an awesome thing to hear. And Peter gave testimony last night, and it was funny. He said, and I was overseas, and he said, I didn't really miss people that much, but I missed the singing. I thought that was pretty neat. But it is good to be here to sing the praises and the old hymns together. I'm thankful for these great truths that we have written down in the songbook that we can sing about some good sound doctrine. But we have a Bible. And the emphasis of this church has been the Word of God. And I believe that there's a song here and there's joy here because of that emphasis that every Word of God is pure. Amen. And we have seen God do some great and wonderful things in the church here. And we have traveled quite a bit over the winter. We were out west for a little while. We had one place, we were parked there in New Mexico, and we got out there, and it's kind of neat, you know. You see the mountains out in the distance, and they parked us out, and it was kind of just a dusty field, and there's tumbleweeds blowing around, and it's kind of neat. There's horses there and stuff, but they parked us out in the middle of this field, and it doesn't rain that much in New Mexico, but when we went, it rained, and it snowed, and it rained some more. And what happened was all that dust turned into, they call it adobe mud, and they build houses out of this stuff because it gets real hard. And what happens is the bottom layer doesn't necessarily get soaked as much, but the top layer does. So when you step on it, it sticks to your foot. And then when you step again, it sticks again, and it just keeps, you just keep going higher and higher. It's like a ladder. And so we were parked out in the middle of this field, and we're trying to get out and to go to the service. And the one night I was supposed to preach service there, and I did a ceiling for their fellowship area, a suspended ceiling, and we came back after service. When we left in the morning, everything was frozen, but when we came back, it was thawed, and I knew this is trouble. When it thaws, this is trouble. And so I pull my van, and we get about 10 feet into this large field, and my wheels start spinning. And so I backed up out of there. So Leanna's like, what now? So I'm like, I don't know. But we had a pickup truck they gave me to run back and forth, a dually diesel pickup truck. And so I said, maybe we could load everybody into the pickup truck and go over to that to the camper together. So we all loaded in just a regular cab. So all 11 of us got into that cab. And I got a little video of it. I said, this is us on Susanna's birthday. And it was a funny little video for us to remember it. So we get out there, and we had birthday with Susanna and different things. And at the end of the afternoon, we go back to church. So we all get in the truck. And I start trying to get back around where the van was parked on the main road, and the truck spins to the side with dualies on it and is not going anywhere. I back up, I go forward, it's not going anywhere. It's just making deeper and deeper ruts. And I'm like, this is not good. And so Leanna's like, now what? So I carried all the kids back to the van across. I put on some old shoes and carried them one at a time across the ocean of mud to the van. And we made it in time. And so that was part of our adventure out there. But probably above everything else that we did in our travels, we'll probably remember that time the most. And then we went on Monday after that. we went to go do a family day. So I talked to the pastor and I said, you know, Pastor, is there anywhere else we could park, like on a parking lot somewhere or something, just so we could be out of the mud? I said, because I just cannot get back and forth to the camper. I mean, it's just... And so he says, oh yeah, there's a parking space right up there by the road, right by the building, and it's got good stone and everything. I'm like, all right. So we moved the camper. But I'm not sure why we parked up there in the first place. But it was a great memory. I mean, we'll remember it. And so I just figured I'd share that with you. Another thing that happened when we were out on the road that was really precious to one of the things that happened there at that church, actually, that is very memorable, is they have a Navajo choir there. And they sing in Navajo. Most of that church there, and it's a pretty good-sized church, a very large building and a pretty good-sized church, most of the church there is actually Navajo. And I would say probably maybe 70 or 80% of the church is Navajo. And so the white people are the minority there. But they got up and they sang hymns in Navajo. And it was just very memorable. It was an awesome experience to be there and just to hear that. But there was a church we were at, Newark, Troy Kaler, and I know I'm not good with names even though I travel, and that's probably part of my problem, but Troy Kaler had us there for his spring revival, and we got to get involved with that a little bit. The kids were singing and had us involved with it, and Saturday we went out and did soul winning. And Lydia went with me to go out and just talk to people and share the gospel with people and invite people out to church, hand out some tracts. So we were out there. We end up talking to a lady, Brittany, and she listened, and I shared some of the gospel with her and just tried to encourage her to get into the Word of God. And I told her, you know, do you have a Bible? And she said, I don't. And I said, well, if I gave you a Bible, would you be interested in reading it consistently? And she said, you know, yeah, I would. So we had talked to her near her home, and later that afternoon, Lydia and I went back to give her a Bible, but she wasn't there. Well, I went back to the church I was just reading a book that afternoon, and Lydia's walking around kind of pacing around me like, you know, when are we going to get back and get this Bible to this lady? And I knew she was concerned, you know, we got to go see her again, you know. About two hours later, we went ahead and went back again to see if she was home. And this time she was home. And she said, you know, I'm going to be at church tomorrow. So Lydia was excited about that, and of course people say things, and she said, I want to bring my neighbor, but if he doesn't come, I'm going to come by myself. And she just had a bicycle, she was in her upper 20s and had a family. But she says to me, we're going to be there tomorrow. So the next morning, I'm teaching Sunday school, or before Sunday school, Lydia's over by the door. She's pacing back and forth by the door. I said, did you pray that she's going to come out to church? She said, yeah. I said, well, Lord knows. And I said, you know, I hope she does. Well, I was teaching Sunday school. I'm just getting toward the end of Sunday school, and I look up, and I see the back of Brittany's head walking out the door. She had ridden her bicycle to the church, walked in, saw that we were having service, and walked right back out. And I thought, So I kind of paused in the middle of my preaching, like, what am I supposed to do? Well, there's a lady from the church who saw her come in and walk back out, followed her out and reached out to her. And she came in for that service. Preacher, she came in for that service. And I got to tell Lydia, did you pray? She said, I prayed. And she came. And that lady, Brittany, she stayed after. At first I asked her, I said, hey, you have plans for lunch? You can have lunch with our family. And she said, no, thanks. Well, she stood around and talked for a few more minutes. And then she says, did you say you're going to have lunch? And I said, yeah. She said, yeah, I think I'll do that. And so she came back, and they built puzzles together for a little while. And while we were there, she was talking about, well, you know, I lost my kids for right now, but when I get my kids back, you know, and she was just talking about things. And well, the Lord just gave me a burden for that lady, and it was great for me to see Lydia's faith in wanting to reach out to people, and I'm very thankful for how God's working in my children that way to give her a burden also for souls, and so I just want to share that with you. very precious to me that the Lord was able to allow us to be able to reach out to that lady that way. Well, I'm going to go ahead and preach for a little while here this morning, and we're going to be in Hebrews 11, and I'm going to start in verse 7. This is a passage, I have gone to this passage before, but this is not a message I've preached before from this passage. Hebrews 11 and verse number 7, it says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear." The Bible says here he was moved. It says he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. The Bible tells us here about Sarah that there she received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child. And it describes her condition this way: when she was past age. It was too late for her. It was too late for her to have a child. She was past age. It was too late. And it says in verse 12, "Therefore sprang there even as one of one and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable." It says there sprang from him that was as good as dead. He'd already heard, he already knew, he already saw the time pass, and yet God touched his life when he was as good as dead. God touched the life of his wife, and she received strength when she was past age. It was too late for her. It was too late, and yet God still touched her. She had her opportunity, and yet God gave her another opportunity when she was past age. I'm thankful for this truth of Scripture that God works in our lives sometimes when it's already too late.
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to open your word today. And God, I pray that you would meet with us today, that you would touch hearts, and that we would be changed and helped by the preaching of your word. Draw us to your heart. And Lord, help us, Lord, to have a burden for our own souls and for the souls of others. Lord, that we would care, that we'd have compassion. And Father, that we would seek you and see you do some great things as you already have done in this church. And Father, we pray now that you meet with us. We understand that we have an enemy. And we bind the enemy in the authority of the Lord Jesus. We pray that you would meet with us today. You'd stir our hearts and draw us to thee. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. She was past age, and yet God saw fit to touch her life and do this work in her, and she received strength. And there are some people here in this church, and I'm burdened for souls here in this church. I'm burdened for souls in my own family. They haven't received strength to be born again and to have that assurance. And can I tell you, it's important for us to remember this principle of Scripture. I believe we see it in many places, that when God saves a soul, you've already had your opportunity more than your fair share of opportunities. You've already had enough opportunities. And it's important for us to remember, even as Mrs. Asquith said yesterday in her testimony, that she had gotten to a place that she thought, you know what, I'm just beyond hope. But she wasn't beyond hope. She saw that she had stepped away from the gospel, or had not been able to receive that gospel too long. and it bothered her. And she came to a place in her life where she could appreciate the grace of God in a very deep way. And I love the testimony of Mrs. Asquith, and she's an inspiration to me in her testimony, in her spirit, in her worship. And I'm thankful for how God touched her life. But we don't deserve the mercy of God. Mercy, by definition, can't be deserved. Grace, by definition, can't be deserved. And you don't deserve to see tomorrow and have a chance tomorrow to be born again. You don't deserve today to hear a message from the Word of God. You don't deserve it.
Amen.
I don't deserve to be able to stand up here and preach the Bible. I deserve to be dead today. I deserve to be in hell today. It's a fact. And it's good for us to get a hold of that. She was past age. It was too late for her. And yet God gave her strength to conceive seed. I remember when I was 5, and my parents told me this Bible is the Word of God, and I couldn't quite read yet, but I thought someday I'll be able to read, and I'll be able to read the Word of God. I'll be able to see what God, my Maker, said to me, the very Word of God. I remember thinking that as a 4 or 5 year old. Yet how many times have I read through this Bible and studied the scriptures and heard the scriptures preached and yet have not been moved by the Spirit of God when he's desired to move me? You know, we need ears to hear. And I don't mean the lost. I mean we all do, but especially the lost. Amen. We need ears to hear the Word of God. The problem is a problem of hearing and perceiving the Word of God, taking it to heart. Abraham was as good as dead. He didn't have hope to be able to have a child by Sarah anymore. And yet God touched him and God used him. Turn over to the book of Joel, chapter 1. Joel chapter 1. Pastor Asquith, would you go ahead and pray again?
Father, I thank you for putting the man of God in the pulpit. And I pray now that you help him to state those things so clearly. You lay upon his heart and give us ears to hear. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Christ. Amen.
Amen. Joel chapter 1. Stephen, would you pray again?
Heavenly Father, I pray for Brother Coombs. I pray that his thoughts would be organized, my God, and that your Spirit would work with his Spirit, my God, that he might be able to freely say those things that you have shown him, my God, and perhaps those things that you've not yet shown him, my God. I pray that you lay upon his heart even now. And us, the hearers, my God, I pray that we would take heed to these things that are said. We would take heed to the Word of God that's preached. Help us, my God. Help us and meet with us even now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Joel chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, hear ye this, old men. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. If this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers, tell ye your children of it. And let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left hath the canker worm eaten. And that which the canker worm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean, bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. So we see this prophecy of Joel talking about another nation coming in. Israel. And he says this, he says, that which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left hath the canker worm eaten. And that which the canker worm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. And there was a message here that there was a remnant of a remnant of a remnant of a remnant that was left, and the remnant of the remnant had been eaten, and there was just almost nothing left. And this is the message of Joel. There's some things that remain here at Black Creek, and we can strengthen the things that remain here. But what about God's work in your life? How are you doing in your personal walk with God? Are you allowing God to move you and use you as he has designed you to be used? Is God's work alive and well in your life, or has it been eaten away over generations of a dull ear? You've heard the preaching. Has it really sunk down into your heart to move you, as Noah was moved to build that ark? Are you moved by the Word of God? I gave my testimony last night to Nate. I was telling him about this church in Akron, and we're talking about and praying about the possibility of us going there. Just a building. It's just they're ready to sell it and just donate the money somewhere because there's not a pastor there. It's only 3 miles from the spot where I was born again in 99, just after I graduated high school. I remember that day when God touched my heart and saved my soul. And what happened is God took his word and he smote my heart with his word. And the word was, honor thy father and thy mother. And the problem was, I didn't honor my parents. In my heart, I didn't. I may have given some kind of a lip service to honor my dad, but in my heart I did not honor him. And God began to work in my heart about this thing of you need to honor your dad. I remember I was just sitting in a preaching service. I don't even remember what the preacher was talking about necessarily, but I just remember God speaking to me and saying, you're wrong because you don't honor your parents. And your days won't be long on this earth if you don't learn to do that. And you're not going to have a walk with me unless you learn to do that. And you don't honor your dad because you think he's honorable. You honor him because I told you, I commanded you, honor thy father and mother. And I remember that night when I sat down with my dad and began to talk with my dad like a human being and saw him as another human being. And I remember sitting there with him and talking to him and not seeing him as, well, my dad, my old dad. I just remember seeing him as just another man, just trying to walk with the Lord, trying to be a do the right thing. You know, my dad was faithful to our family for all those years, and to my mother. And there's a lot of good things that can be said about my dad, but he was mean sometimes, and there was reasons why I had a hard time. But God just helped me to see my dad and respect my dad for the good things about my dad, and to love my dad. And as I started thinking about my dad and loving my dad as God has intended me to love my dad, God began to do a work in my heart. And for the first time in my life, I saw something I had never seen before. It was very similar to what Pastor Asquith talks about in his testimony. That is, that I saw myself as a worm and no man. You know what we are? We're the children of Adam. It's not a figure of speech. It's not a theological doctrine. It's a matter of fact.
That's right. Yeah.
You are the children. I am the children of Adam. And God said, the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. And he died spiritually that day. And yet he left a vestige of Adam's body on this earth. And that vestige that was left had children and children and children. And I saw myself for the first time very, very clearly as a vestige of a vestige of a vestige of a vestige of a vestige times generations and generations. And here I am in the 21st century now as a vestige of a vestige, still walking on this earth, yet deserving to be in hell long before I was at, before, I should have never been conceived. And yet here I am.
Amen.
And I saw the grace of God because I was a vestige of a vestige.
Amen.
Saw the goodness of God in that. Joel says, you know, tell your children. I like what he says in verse 2. Hear this, ye old men. You know, there's coming a day. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You're not going to always have opportunity to receive Christ. And listen, when you stand before God someday and you're unsaved, you're not going to be able to say, but I did pray to receive Christ, but I did mean well, Lord. He's not going to accept your explanation for why you were not born again. He's not going to accept that. Hear this, ye old men. Listen up. The palmer worm, which the palmer worm hath left, the locust hath eaten, and which the locust hath left, hath the canker worm eaten, and that which the canker worm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake. Hey, this is my message this morning is this. You need to awake and realize that you're past age already. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. When are you going to take this thing to heart to honor the Lord and seek the Lord? I liked Sam's testimony last night. He said he had determined in his heart, I'm just going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to do whatever it takes until I get this thing settled about my assurance and about my salvation. Right, Sam? And he didn't. Right? I'm going to do whatever it takes. But he didn't. And he says, as I thought about it that next day after I told everybody that, I didn't do much. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Are you? What are you doing? How much are you reading your Bible? How much are you taking time in prayer? We get a lot of clutter, a lot of static on the line between us and God. There's a lot going on in this world. I think about the song we opened the service with this morning. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves! Jesus saves! Sing above the battle strife.
Amen.
There's a whole lot going on here in our lives. Hey, I have 9 children and 1 on the way. We don't have a house yet. Things are changing all the time. I got a lot to distract me from my walk with God, from my personal walk with God. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus
Amen.
Saves. Jesus saves. He still saves. What are you doing to seek him out and to make it real? It's not just going to happen. It's going to happen when you take initiative to seek the Lord. He's given you his word. Open his word. Study his word. Do as the pastor's already encouraged you to do. Get with God. Spend time in prayer. Get this thing settled. You don't have forever. There's one church we visited. I'm not going to mention which one it was, but there was a man there. He's in his 70s. He'd been there through several pastors. And he ran the sound room in the back. And I was kind of working with him to do projects around the church. And I noticed he kept talking about all the things that he had and all the things that he'd done. And he kept going back to that and going back to that and going back to that. And he told me how, well, you know, one thing I could learn is what happens when the man of God doesn't listen to God. And he'd watch different pastors go through that church. He was 70-some years old. And I mean a brilliant man. He knew the Word of God well. He would talk about things and just constantly. One day, I was trying to work on something. He just started talking about, well, this trailer that I have and the weight of this and all these different things that I have and these things that I've done. And he just keeps talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. And I think, I don't know that this man knows how to worship God. I don't know if he knows how to do that. And then one service I came in and realized when he's in the back sound booth and controlling the soundboard, he's not singing. And I thought, isn't that interesting? He keeps talking about himself, and he's not singing during the song service. And I wonder if he knows how to worship God. Why does he keep talking about himself? And as I talk to him, and I have respect for him, I don't know where this man is between him and the Lord, but there was a sense that I had the one day, how many opportunities is this man going to get? The Lord touched my heart on that Wednesday night, and I preached the Word of God. I wept and wept and wept as I preached the Word of God. And God moved among that congregation, and that man heard. And then the next day, it was right back to the same talking about himself. And I thought, what is happening here? How many opportunities is this man going to have? And I thought, I don't know if he's going to be around much longer. He's already heard it. He already knows. God touched the message that I preached on Wednesday night, and God was working among his people. And the next day, he continued talking about himself. He already knows. He already knows what the Word of God says, and he just doesn't care. He's past age. And God needs to touch his life. Well, how many opportunities is he going to have? 3 days later, I got a text from a man that was working with me, and he said, that man that was in the sound booth passed away. He's gone. Suddenly. He's gone. I don't think that was a coincidence. God struck my heart. I need to worship God.
Amen.
How many opportunities are you going to have? That man was a brilliant man. That man was blessed with the things of this world. He had many things, but he focused on himself. Do you know one of the evidences that you don't know God? It tells us in Matthew 7. It says, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name done many? This is the most foolish thing. Wonderful things. Wonderful things. What is that? You know what that means? God, you should really be in awe at how great I am. If you think you have done something great with your life, you don't know God.
Amen.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. If we received it, why do we boast as if we didn't receive it? If you think you can do wonderful things and you're talking about all the great things that you've done and your character and your follow through, you don't know God. And you need to get real with yourself. The reason those stars look so small is because they're really far away. As you get closer, the sun is a million times the size of the earth. Some of these other stars are vastly larger than that. It's just because it's so far away and you think, oh, they're just specks in the sky. You don't know God. You haven't been near enough to him to be in awe of who he is.
Come on.
Look at, turn over to Joel chapter 2. I'm just going to quote a scripture that you know already from Matthew. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. That's Matthew 21, 22. We're not going there right now. But Joel 2, and think about this. Jesus said, have you never read the scriptures? He was talking to the Pharisees, who knew the scriptures vastly better than probably any one of us do. They knew those scriptures very, very, very well. And he says to them, have you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. You know what happened? They threw him away, and then they turned back and looked and said, how did that happen? How's he there? I thought we threw it away. And God placed that.
Amen.
God does some amazing things. It says this is the Lord's work, and it's marvelous in our eyes. God's work should be marvelous in our eyes.
Amen.
Absolutely it should. In the book of Joel, it says this in chapter 2, after it talks about the canker worm and all these different things, and the vestige that would be left, there's a promise given in chapter 2, verse number 15. I was going to start a little further down. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yet the Lord will answer and say unto his people, Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, and his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. You know who does great things? Not me, not you. God does great things. Amen. You seek him and he will be found.
Amen.
God is not impressed by anything we do, but he does care. When you seek him, he will allow you to find him. Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. The Lord does great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and will cause it to come down for you the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you, notice this, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. The canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. There's a day when you're not going to have an opportunity again. We don't know when that day is. But God, in his mercy for me, has restored some of those years that the locust had eaten. Yeah. I could look back and see things that I had done as a teen and time that I'd wasted. God gave to me those years. Amen. That the locust had eaten. The canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Brother McVeigh said in one of his messages, and it was kind of just in passing, he said, God is going to take the temple to where there's not one stone left upon another. And he was using it in reference to us, saying, we're not broken down enough for us to be able to really receive Christ. This army that God sent against us to break us down, it was to help us to see our need of a Savior. You can't trust your own works. You have to put your trust in Christ alone. And he's going to do a work that you could never do. Yesterday's gone. Was it that said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian? Told Paul that. And it's so close, almost, but lost, that one song says. I should have. You know, I had the opportunity yesterday, but it's too late. It's gone. Yesterday is gone. You have today. Now is the time. You say, someday I'm really going to get a hold of this thing. When? Last year's revivals are over. This week's revivals are over. Testimony time yesterday is over. When? When is it going to happen?
Come on.
Oh, someday, it'll be okay. Someday I'll get this. When's it going to happen?
Come on.
You hoping that maybe tomorrow it'll be okay? When are you going to take this thing seriously? Take some time and get real with God. Go out in the woods and talk to God. David was a man after God's own heart. He spent time with those sheep out in the wilderness or the fields. He spent time with God out alone. You need to get your Bible open, read your Bible, pray, and seek the Lord and get this thing settled about assurance of your salvation. Listen, if you're saved and you know you're saved, we cannot afford to neglect the Word of God.
That's right.
We have to have this Bible open and reading it and searching, what does God have for me right now, right at this moment? It's important. I should have. Those words will echo and say, I should have, but you didn't. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. So many scriptures. Turn to the book of Revelation. I'm just going to look at a few verses there and I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to be done with this message. Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse 7. This is to the church of Ephesus. He says in verse 7, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look at verse 11. This is to the church of Smyrna. He says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 17, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 29, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse number 3, chapter 3, verse 6, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Chapter 3, verse number 13, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse number 22, this is to the church of Laodicea. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. How many times does he have to say that? It's important.
Amen.
You know, one of the things that's frustrating as a parent, when kids, they won't listen. I just told you to do that. You have to get their attention. And it takes repetition sometimes. We come to services to hear from God. We come to services to be helped, to be changed. There's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of distractions. You got to get alone. You got to make a point. It's not going to happen by accident. It's a volitional thing. You seek the Lord. He's already sought you. He's already put you under the preaching of the Word of God. He's already handed you His Word. You just need to take initiative to say, I'm going to open that Bible back up and study it on my own and see, what am I supposed to be doing right now? How can I take that next step to get closer to the Lord? Now is the time. Today is the day. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer and just commit this message back to Him. Father, we are thankful for the privilege that we have to come to You in prayer. We thank You so much for the truth of Your Word. I thank You for this message that You laid on my heart, Lord, in this special day. Father, I pray that You stir us to walk with You.